100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntiltheDayIdie.com. The topic this week on the weekly challenge was guest, and we have a whole bunch of guest writers here for you. In fact, let me read out a few. John Musico, Muncie, Jeffrey Fisher, Richard, Marsha is new, Lizzie, Jerry, Tom, and he sent in a whole bunch for the next few weeks. Hey, the topics are out there. You can get lined up early. Take a break, you know? Serendipity, Zachman, got a new guy, Charlie LaCrosse. I think he's new. He's got two stories in. I hope they're not one because it's 200 words long. Break it up into two. There you go. Although, don't call the next one Go Set a Watchman and Make Atticus a Racist. It's kind of, yeah, let's not talk about that. And we probably got a few more coming in. So I'm recording this the night before because I want to get ahead of the game. You know, getting ahead of the game. There you go. Look up on the oneadayuntiltheDayIdie.com for the full roster of the folks that you're going to listen to here. And if they sent me URLs, you can check out more about them. But what's most important is let's listen to the stories. We got John Musico here for you. So take it away, John. Let's hear what you've got this week.
Fate of Intellect's Evolution by John Musico. They were from many light years away. Their brains had evolved to a level of logic where emotion was seemingly no longer useful and became atrophied, unavailable in their ancient civilization. Supreme beings, seeking to fill an empty void, though vicariously, came to Earth. They watched intently, eagerly absorbed by what was once deemed a purposeless endeavor, emotion, and felt joy once again. The visitors reciprocated their gratitude by using their godlike powers to aid mankind. They spoke to man, unseen, in a unified voice as if from the sky, and were viewed as one being. Mankind worshipped their Lord.
Greetings, hound dogs. Muncie here. And ready once more to serve as tribute to your story-hearing needs. Can I do any less? Can any of us? Hospitality by Christopher Monroe. I try to be a good host. Whether I'm having people over for a night of B-movies and beer, or an alien parasite has burrowed its way into my brain in order to control me like a puppet, I do whatever I can to make my guests comfortable. That's just hospitality. Some find this old-fashioned. But that's how I was raised. It comes as naturally to me as breathing used to, previous to finding that crashed alien ship out in the woods. So, fellow normal human, may I offer you liquid? A beer drink? Something to get you off your guard? Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. Thus ends my story, hound dogs. But as one story ends, so too does another begin, same as it ever was, except for Planet Z's stories. When they end, the outro begins. But that's a whole different thing.
Good morning, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here with a couple of stories for you on the topic of guest. My first story is called Household Guest. The pain is with you all the time, day and night. Sometimes it's a dull ache, tolerable if never fully out of your mind. Sometimes it's stabbing agony, leaving you gasping for breath. Most of the time it comes as waves of torment, crashing against your mind's shores, eroding your will to live. My friend, your expression of sympathy suggests that you believe I'm speaking of myself in the second person. On the contrary, I use you in its usual meaning. Ah, I now see understanding dawning. Don't try to move. When the paralytic wears off, you'll find yourself securely bound. And remember, when I say this won't hurt a bit, I'm lying. Okay, I figured every once in a while, you just have to do a story in somebody else's voice. That was my effort at a serendipity story. And my second story is called Part of the Hospitality Industry. Why, thank you, sir, for opening the door for me. You're too kind. These little kindnesses are ignored far too often. Look, my bed is all made up, and I have towels as well. The hospitality of my host is unparalleled. I'm told there are exercise facilities on the premises as well. It's the little things that make a stay more pleasant. Why do I keep prattling on like this? Sir, you have your little fictions and I have mine. You insist on calling me a guest of the state, so I insist on believing that I'm being treated as one. May I see tonight's dinner menu? And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning, this is Richard, and this week I've only got one story for you. I would have given you more, but I always say that brevity is the spice of life, and I'm sticking with that. So here it is, on the topic of guest. It's called The Country Retreat. We were an eclectic group gathered together as we waited to be called for dinner. I glanced around at the guests. The major, all handlebar whiskers and ramrod straight posture. The haughty socialite, frostily eyeing her companions. The young married couple, utterly besotted. And the grumpy old dowager, frowning at having to wait for lunch. All strangers. All anxious to be seated at the table. At last, the final guest was announced. And the room fell strangely silent. Mr. Hercule Poirot. Strangers, maybe, but before the night was out, we would become intimately familiar, and one of us would die. And on that cheerful note, I bid you all a farewell, one that is both fond and about 7 days long. So goodbye.
My name is Marcia Doyle, and I live in Houston, Texas, and the word this week is guest. Termination of affection by guest. My husband over the years was constantly inviting business associates to stay at our house while they were in town. This naturally fell upon me to be sure that they had adequate space, food, and beverages. After years of this bullshit and over hundreds of visitors, I contacted a contractor for an estimate to build a small guest house. It should have a bedroom, a sitting office area, bath, and a small but efficient kitchen. He sent me a quote of $275,000. Well, when my husband saw the estimate, he had a heart attack and was rushed to the hospital, where shortly thereafter he died. Needless to say, the guest house is no longer required. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. John's only grandniece had 6 children at family gatherings. John was always somewhere else with his old buddies, a tropical island, a cruise, a religious peregrination. He wasn't religious, but any excuse worked. This time, his coward friends decided to visit their families, so when a choir of kids asked John why he looked all wrinkled, he showed them his gold teeth. "See this? You won't get any. You're out of the will." Little did the family know that he had already spent all his money and that he had no intention of parting from his teeth, even after dying. This is my story for this week, dropped by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and have a great week. Bye-bye.
There's a Detroit woman with a loving look in her eye, and she never did me wrong, and that's no lie. When I said I was leaving, she tried hard not to cry, cry, cry. But I packed up my clothes and my old guitar, I threw
all my junk in the back of my car. I blew her a kiss and away bye-bye. It's back, back, back to Oklahoma once again.
Good afternoon, Lawrence. And it's a beautiful afternoon in Oklahoma. I just was out, mowed the lawn, did the edge trimming, cut back a few bushes, watered my wife's plants. Not a bad day. And now I have 100 words on the subject of guest. Enjoy. They came early. Now Roger does not mind when folks show up early for one of his dinner parties. Roger uses the term bit to mean half an hour or so early, because half an hour means that all the food is prepared, the table is set, and the house is clean. Most importantly, the bathroom is sparkling clean, and if the need arises, his guest can eat off its floor. When the doorbell rang, Roger was in the shower and was not pleased that his guests were 3 hours early. At least that's what he told the police when they arrived.
After the adult video, across the Red River, onto the bad roads of Oklahoma, through the Arbuckle Wilderness, a traffic jam and more, past 5 Indian casinos, flashing neon at the port, green and golden plains reflect the blue and purple sky, and clouds threaten thunderstorm and rain as the sun blinks down its bloodshot eye. I'm driving home.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got a story for you this evening. It's called We'll Meet on the Great Plain. Lindau Laxor was their guest, which meant the greater part of hospitality was due to him despite his habit of non-reciprocal return. He arrived with the first crush and bid farewell with the draining of the last cask. The children found his talk of the Dune Lands awe-inspiring. Grandmother just as soon shoot him in the eye. So it was on that as harvest approached, no sign of Laxor. When the last cups of summer were raised, we toasted his absence, left a thimble aside in his honor. My family has been collecting Laxor thimbles for 600 years. And that's it for this week. Good night, America, wherever you are.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. I am the unseen guest at every dining table, the unwelcome visitor who calls in the night. I am the one of whom you do not speak, the one who lurks in hospital wards and loiters in dark alleyways. I am the shadow on your lung, the faulty brake pipe, the falling branch. I am the thin ice, the ruptured artery, and the prank gone horribly wrong. I am the fatal mistake, the sudden bend, the unexpected riptide. I am bullet, bomb and burns, drugs, disease and disaster. I am death. And I invite you to be my guest.
This is Zach Mann. Some people hate having their in-laws visit. I don't mind, but I do hate all the extra cleanup, and that we really have to clean up for the relatives who come from overseas. I can't just shove stuff into a closet all Fibber McGee, like when the pastor comes by, since when they come, they stay for weeks. I actually miss having my father-in-law visit, as long as I made sure there were at least two beers in the refrigerator in the morning before I went to bed, things would magically be fixed around the house in my sleep.
Guests and fish start to smell after 3 days, so Babe made excuses so they would leave in the early morning of the fourth day of their yearly visit to the Burroughs home. Babe and her pal, Mary, had an odor about them anyway, and it grew stronger in time. Both of them were on a strange diet which consisted, largely, of grains and assorted roughage. When they sat on the patio or deck, the Burroughs always sat upwind of their guests, not letting on or grimacing every 5 minutes or so when they caught emanations of the silent winds. Over the years, I've made every excuse I could muster to avoid having guests visit my home. The last time a visitor from two states away called while in town to ask directions to my house, I pretended I picked up the call on a cell phone in faraway Canada, saying I wouldn't be home until the following Thursday, but pleased they made it to my special, little village. Next time, I'm going to say the house is being fumigated, and has a large tent over it, so we can gather at the local hotel if they insist on meeting.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 481 with a prompt of guest. Here's my story.
Mr. Picklehacker, this is your last chance to share some information, aphasia said. Unless you want to become a guest of our airport security cell.
No big deal, Buford said. You already know it weighs more than it should. It's dark matter.
The agent narrowed her eyes at him. It doesn't look very dark.
It's an expression, Buford said with a shrug. Is it illegal to have or transport an unknown element?
It depends, Picklehacker. What do you plan to do with it?
I don't know, Buford said and sat back with a laugh. Maybe I'll make invisible paperweights. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Tour Abrazoino here with a story on the subject, Guest, inspired by the Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 2. The horizon's just crossing past the sun when they show. Two people, look like men, but that don't mean much. We have come far and are weary, says one. Weary? They're not even breaking a sweat. Must be packing some mighty fine implants to be just walking across the Badlands. No stuff with them, not even guns. This shack ain't no hotel, I say, but plenty of rocks to lay on. Be my guest. Well, there's no fire from heaven coming down. Guess I passed God's secret customer test. I didn't let on, but the wings really give them away.
Take a trip with me to planet Z.
I call it the spare bedroom. She calls it the guest room. The blueprints call it the basement. The girl we kidnapped and locked up down there calls it a prison. The cops called it a dungeon. The media called it a slaughterhouse. The prosecutor called it the scene of the crime. I suppose we should call the girl the victim and me and her the accused. Oh, and the cops, well, they're still the cops. But the media are jackals. And the prosecutor is their whore, showing off for the cameras as he runs for mayor. Goddamn semantics.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of guest. I hope you enjoyed this week's weekly challenge. I sure did. Okay, did you? Did you really? Well, let the writers know in the comments at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com or on the social networks or this or that. Let them know. If you know their email address, write them. If you know their Facebook, Facebook them. All their addresses and such, if they gave me a site to link to, it's up there in the show notes. Let them know. Say, hey, that was good, or hey, whatever. Don't do it that way, though. That's kind of annoying. I will see you next week when the topic is Spike. Until then, thank you for listening and being a part of the weekly challenge. And, as always, keep it brief.